Welcome, mydearsister.com and mydearbrother.com. What are the six elementary principles of Christ? This is found in Hebrews 6, 1 through 2. So this is the foundation of Christendom. This is what thing every new believer needs to understand, needs to study, because if the foundation is not laid right, then it's really hard to build a house. So Hebrews 6, 1 through 2 says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles. So this is elementary. Remember going to elementary school? Before you went to junior high, before you went to high school, before you went to college, you went to elementary school. So this is like going to elementary school in the kingdom of God. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on perfection, not laying again the foundation. So we don't want to lay down the foundation. Why would we have to do that? You know, when I moved to the place that I have, you know, we laid a pad and we had a manufactured home, you know, brought in. And while they're trying to put on the pad, the truck hit the foundation too hard and broke, you know, a corner of it. And so we had to come people and kind of relay that part again. They had to fix it, but that part they had to break off and relay it because the foundation broke. And so if you don't have these six elementary principles of Christ, your foundation is going to break. It's going to crack when any pressure from the outside world hits on it. So this is something it's elementary. I mean, everybody should understand. There are things that are difficult to understand in Scripture. You know, Peter talks about that. He says, man, this Paul guy, Paul the Apostle, he has some things that are difficult to understand. Well, you don't necessarily need to understand those difficult things, and you're certainly not going to understand those difficult things without understanding these six elementary principles of Christ. And the first one is repentance from dead works. What is repentance from dead works? It means you're no longer trying to live life on your own terms, in your own ways. You're no longer living by a list of pros and cons. I think I'm going to do this, going to do that. Many are the plans of man, but God directs his steps. It means we can go ahead and make our plans. We should make our plans. He doesn't want us just to hop, skip through life. He wants to make plans, but we need to bring those plans to the Lord for him to sign off on it or for him to say yes or no. And to remove those things. Whatever God plants, it will come to fruition. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, he's beginning and the end. He's going to finish what he has started in you. But if you start it in your own flesh, in your own understanding, by your own reasoning, it's called a dead work. And you don't want to do those things because it's not going to bring you life. Anything that's dead does not bring life. So you want to repent, you know, again, repentance of dead works and of faith towards God. Faith in what? Faith towards God. Faith in prayer? No. Faith in healing? No. Faith in yourself? No. Faith in whatever? No. In faith towards God. We're not always going to get our doctrines right. We don't always get our doctrines with complete understanding. And so if your faith is in prosperity, if your faith is in healing, if your faith is in all these different things and not in God, you're going to be disappointed because you put your faith in the wrong thing. We don't always understand Scripture. We see things in part. So our faith must be in God so that when disappointment comes, we're not disappointed. Because our foundation is in Christ. If we're founded on Christ, then disappointment cannot stay very long and it certainly can't crack our foundation. And elementary principles is of the doctrine of baptisms. There's several different baptisms. There's the water baptism, which people know, and there's a lot of wars over that. Should be sprinkled, just baby baptized or older baptized? Well, Scripture talks about you need to be at an age which you understand what you're coming to. We, you know, at the church we don't practice baby baptism because a baby can't make a personal decision for Christ. And so we do a baby dedication, means the parents and the church are dedicated to help bring that child up in the way they should go so they're not apart. But the water baptism is when you come into the full knowledge that you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, and you decided to lay down your life so you can pick up His, and you become born again. I mean, that's the water baptism. There's also baptism before that of repentance. And, of course, there's some fights on that one, too. I went through a baptism of repentance before I was actually saved. It means I started seeing my need for Christ, and I began to mourn and look for a Savior. And so that's a baptism. Another baptism is being, you know, baptized into the church. Some people like that, because when you get first baptized, it's like a child. When you're born again, your child, you don't understand where you start and your, you know, and end, and where your mom starts or ends. You don't understand a family. It's only until we get older. Lord when you realize that this is not one big glob, that there are individuals and you belong, that you are your individual, that you have a mom, that you and your mom are not the one and the same, that you have a mom and that you have a family. So there is a kind of a baptism when you realize it's not all about you, but it's also about all those who are in your family or in your church. And there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And once again, there's division on there because, you know, because people talking about you don't have the Holy Spirit, you know, until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. No, you have the Holy Spirit the moment that you are born again. But Jesus talks about nobody asks for the Holy Spirit, or asks for a bad thing, and the Father gives him a serpent. But you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you. So there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. If he didn't lead you into all truth, you couldn't be saved. But there is a work of the Holy Spirit. There is a baptism that for you to be, a power, to the gifts and the power to do greater things. Jesus says you should be doing greater things than us. And so there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot more to go into these doctrines than the simple things I'm saying here, but I'm just laying down a foundation here. And number four, and of laying of hands. You got to understand that kind of stuff. And about why do Christians lay on hands? Why do we pray and lay hands on people's foreheads and shoulders and so forth? And a lot of that is just about recognizing the call in God's life. I don't need you to tell me what I'm called to do, because Paul says, I didn't go to disciples. I didn't go to, ask people what I think I'm called to. He knew exactly what he's called to, and that's what God wants to tell you. In fact, if you don't hear from God first what you're going to do, you're never going to believe when somebody else calls you. But once God calls you and you know what he's called to do and you start bearing fruit on that, then people are going to recognize that. Your leaders in your church, your pastoral staff should recognize that, and they're going to lay hands on you, anoint you, and appoint you. And so you're going to have God's backing. You're going to have the church backing. And there's more things about laying on hands, too, when it goes back to Moses and sharing of grace. Number five, of the resurrection of the dead. We need to know that. There is several different resurrections, resurrection of those who are in Christ and resurrection of those who refuse Christ. There's different types of judgment, but it says number six is of eternal judgment. This is, elementary principle. This is something you learn in elementary school. This is before you get to junior high, before high school, before college. God does have some judgments that are difficult to understand, but the one judgment that's easy to understand, the one judgment that's elementary, is eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. Every man is given once to die, then face judgment. We're all given a life. We don't know how long that life is. But once that life is over, we are judged according to who we believed in and how we lived our life. And if we die believing that Jesus is our Savior and Lord, then that alone, in Christ alone, we'll be saved. And we'll be later on judged by our works. But that's not eternal judgment. That's some other judgments. That's not an elementary principle, and it goes in deeper. But those who refuse to give their life to Christ are those who just haphazardly said it, that, just to go around with the crowd or just to fit in or to deceive. If you lived your life, you died, you're going to be held for the last day judgment, the great throne judgment and resurrection of the dead there too. And your judgment will be in hell. It'll be with, in the devil's hell. And that's not where you want to go. But these are six elementary principles of Christ. And it said I could preach an hour and some of these 2 or 3 hours in each one of those. But and of course, elementary school is, here in the United States, 12 years. And so this is something, a foundation needs to be really worked on. A foundation really needs to be solid before you start building a life of Christ on it. You need to build a foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone of that foundation. Thank you.